Today is Jackie Robinson Day across Major League Baseball. Robinson made history when he ended 80 years of baseball segregation by being the first black player in an MLB game on April 15, 1947, and he was a star on the field from that first day. Robinson was the Rookie of the Year in 1947, and 2 years later, he was the National League's Most Valuable Player and elected into baseball's Hall of Fame in 1962. Our next guest writes about Robinson's activism as part of his new book, 42 Today, Jackie Robinson and His Legacy. Uhuru Williams is a professor of history and founding director of the Racial Justice Initiative at the University of St. Thomas in St. Paul, Minnesota, and he joins us now on Skype. Welcome to Here and Now.
Thank you so much for having me.
Professor Williams, you're in Minnesota, where there's so much energy, as we know, swirling around the trial of Derek Chauvin for the killing of George Floyd, and now Dante Wright, who was also killed by police in your state. You're a son of history. As we reflect on Jackie Robinson, how are you processing this moment?
You know what's really powerful about this moment, Tanya, is that Jack actually, post-baseball, was very active in the civil rights movement. And in 1963, he went down to Birmingham to participate in several protests associated with the Birmingham campaign at the invitation of the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King. And he gives a speech where he talks about images that are being broadcast back to New York and the East about what's happening in the South. And specifically, he speaks about the image of what he calls this brave policeman down here with his knee on the neck of this lady. It's a really powerful speech because it connects that historical moment with our contemporary moment. Here's Jack, somebody who Martin Luther King described as a freedom rider before the freedom rides, because before Jack integrated baseball, he had refused to give up his seat on a segregated bus while he was in the military, and who had been, you know, by default drafted into the movement, now going down to Birmingham and calling attention to not only the segregation, but the police brutality that enforced it. And this is one of those themes that runs throughout African-American history, that runs throughout American history, and which really connects our past with our present.
Absolutely. You know, Major League Baseball, as we know, is celebrating this day. It's the one where Robinson took to the field for the first time for the Dodgers. And in your essay, I've Got to Be Me, in this latest book, you explore the perceptions about Robinson's commitment to this Black freedom movement. Some actually saw him as a symbol of progress, others as a tool for the establishment. Can you say more about this?
There were certainly elements in the society as a whole that celebrated Jack's accomplishment. The idea that you could have an African-American taking the field, being able to play in the same stadiums as white players, and who performed on a level that was outstanding. And Jack fulfilled all of that. And he became a hero to many for that. At the same time, there were those who saw and associated the indignities that Jack had to suffer with him being a sellout, essentially a tool of the Dodgers and a tool of Branch Rickey. And one of his most infamous critics was Malcolm X, Minister Malcolm X from the Nation of Islam. And Malcolm took great, relished in kind of deriding Jackie Robinson for being what he called Mr. Rickey's Negro, and basically playing him out to be kind of a stooge for the establishment. The reality is Jack was very much an independent, and you see that in his political thinking. You see that in his activism. You see that in the way that he goes about challenging inequality, both on the baseball diamond, but also in the larger society. Jackie Robinson was very similar to James Meredith in that they were both kind of loners and independents. We often think about James Meredith and his march against fear through Mississippi in 1966, kind of taking that lone road. And Jack, in some sense, occupies that for sports. He is the first to integrate baseball. And then later on in his civil rights activism, he's an independent thinker, and it's hard to pin him down with regard to his position on civil rights, on Black power. It really just depended on where Jack was in that moment. And that's one of the hallmarks of his independent thought.
I'm curious about, do we know how Jackie Robinson felt about the comments Malcolm X made about him and those feelings?
We do. Jack was a prolific letter writer, and we're fortunate to have access to many of those letters. Of course, his widow, Rachel, has spoken at length about Jack and his activism. But what's interesting to me is that he was someone who did not take things personal. In fact, I write in the essay, it's interesting, you know, after the Mexico City protests in 1968, or on the eve of those Mexico City protests, where Juan Carlos and Tommy Smith are going to raise their clenched fists and support of Black Power at Mexico City, you've got Jack acknowledging in his newspaper column that Malcolm X was right. And so he and Malcolm had these, you know, kind of bitter battles in the press. And yet Jack always maintained a respect for Minister Malcolm. In fact, he writes, and I'll share this with you, I just found this very compelling. He wrote in his Pittsburgh Courier column, "I began to give the matter some careful thought, and I got hold of the clips from the media which told the story of the boycott movement. After doing this, I was not so certain that the proposed boycott was a bad idea. I decided it's something that the American public ought to at least look at. Maybe that's our problem. Maybe we as Negro athletes have been around too long, accepting inequities and indignities and going along with the worn-out promises about things, how things are going to get better. If this is the way the youngsters feel, believe me, I can sympathize with their point of view. Malcolm X, the late and brilliant leader, once pointed out to me during the course of a debate that, quote, Jackie, in days to come, your son and my son will not be willing to settle for the things we are willing to settle for. I'm certain that this is correct, and this is the way it should be." And that's, you know, an indication of, you know, Jack's ability to absorb criticism and to, you know, not take it personal.
This is really remarkable, hearing it back from you. I mean, these very public battles between Malcolm X and Jackie Robinson, and then this writing where he kind of laid out and reflected on that. Something happened in the 80s and the 90s, and I want to know if you agree with me here. The stories of our heroes like Jackie Robinson somehow got constricted or simplified sometimes as a way to impart on children sort of this unified depiction of who they were. The nuances that you speak of here are often not part of the narrative that we talk about. From your view, how important are these stories to understand where we are now and really the man that was Jackie Robinson?
It's such a great question, Tanya, and they're absolutely essential. It's the reason why I call Jackie Robinson Jack, because that's what Rachel called him and that's what his friends and intimates called him. Jackie is really a creation of the media, a creation of the popular imagination of that moment. It's only one segment of a remarkably complex human being who, when you get to know him through his letters, when you get to know him through his newspaper columns, he was a prolific writer, through his activism, was an incredibly complex man, a very deep man, a very spiritual person of faith, but his own thinker, an independent thinker. And it's one of the reasons that I agree with you is that we often do this to our heroes. We like to reduce American history to a simple progress narrative, and we force everyone uncomfortably into that mold and tell their stories in such a way that we want to highlight that progress. And we miss the messiness, the complexity in their lives, the fact that the journey is incomplete. I love the fact that when John Lewis passed last summer, in his final letter to the American people, he talked about freedom as a constant struggle. In our contemporary moment, as we look at athletes like LeBron James and Kyrie Irving, who are using their platform, and especially the women in the WNBA using their platform to highlight racial injustice, I go back to Jack and his struggles as the first African-American to integrate baseball in the major leagues in the 20th century. And the fact that we, in telling that story in a particular way, lose that longitudinal engagement of what it meant to resist and the incredible pressure that these athletes face and the incredible power they had to use their platforms for good. Long before there was Colin Kaepernick, there was Jack. And we don't want to lose that element of that story as well. It's an important part of who he was. And it helps to connect, again, you know, where we are today with this very rich, important history that documents the struggle for African-American equality in the United States.
Yehuru Williams, thank you so much for this conversation. And I'm going to remember Jack versus Jackie.
Appreciate that.
Yehuru Williams is a professor of history at the University of St. Thomas in St. Paul, Minnesota.